Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, we are back again. You're with Reverend Harris. Reverend Harris, Real Talk with the number one doctors. That's Dr. Gene Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia, and your very own on the West Coast here in Mississippi, Fresno, the San Joaquin Death Valley, Reverend Dr. Floyd B. Harris, Jr. We're here once again. We started our show 2 hours earlier today because we wanted to get some listeners in on the East Coast to tune in on our show today. We have Dr. Gene Kennedy, who will be coming on the air here real soon to kind of go over the dynamics of the protests here in Fresno, California yesterday. A lot of things happened yesterday. So the topic of our show today is Real Talk with the Number One Doctors, arrest warrant issue for Dr. Harris after protests. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, your very own Reverend Dr. Floyd B. Harris, Jr. A warrant was issued for my arrest yesterday after the protests, very orchestrated by the Fresno Police Department. Our chief, Jerry Dyer, did keep his promise. He did not keep his promise on making sure that our officers had good training when it comes to mental illness, but he kept his promise on saying that he was going to arrest the organizers, arrest those of us who was practicing our constitutional right here in Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi. That's right. Arrest warrant was issued for Dr. Harris after the protest yesterday. And we'll go a little bit more into that today. But, you know, we started our show a little bit earlier today because we wanted the listeners on the East Coast to be able to tune in on this special show today that we had yesterday, a protest in front of the Fresno Police Department where we had a young man by the name of Freddie who was shot 9 times by the Fresno Police Department who only had a water hose in his hand, a water hose, but he was shot 9 times. Enough is enough, family. Enough is enough. You know, I see white men go deer hunting, and they only shoot a deer once. So how is it that human beings are shot 9 times and shot 48 times, shot 30 times, but yet when we see hunting for sports, now listen to the word sports, S-P-O-R-T-S, sports. When people go hunting for sport, they shoot 1 time. But human beings in United States or United Snakes of America, so let me get that straight. Dr. Kennedy says United States, I says United Snakes of America. We have to understand that we are still living in oppression. We're still living in slavery. We're still living in a poverty country, capitalism country. And, you know, hey, I'm like this. You know, if a warrant is all they're going to issue for me to go to court and think they're going to silence me, they have another coming right now. Because you know what? I'm a black man. I'm a revolutionary. I'm going to stand up for my children. I'm going to stand up for my grandkids. I'm going to stand up for my daughter. And for you privileged children that live in Clovis, California, and up north, you're privileged. That's right, I said you're privileged, because you don't have to endure the type of treatment that our children and men like myself, how we are treated here in Fresno. But, you know, like I said, we're going to get more into the warrant that was issued for my arrest, which was very orchestrated and very organized timing by the Fresno Police Department. I was also told today, a lady that I was talking to before I left and got in the car with one of my comrades, she told me that 2 police officers followed her for almost 3 or 4 miles because I guess they thought I was in her car and they were communicating on their radios to figure out which car I was in. That's right. Your very own Reverend Dr. Floyd E. Harris, Jr., a warrant was issued out for my arrest. But we just want to give a shout-out to all of you across the country, and we want to give our condolences to the people, to the family who lost their loved one, Brother Freddie, yesterday. We just say we love you. We want to stand with you. But you know what? It's going to take more than an arrest warrant to hold Reverend Dr. Floyd E. Harris back. Again, you're with Real Talk with the number one doctor. We have Dr. Gene Kennedy on the line from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to turn the show over to her right now so that she can be able to chime in on this conversation. She was on the ground yesterday. I was on the ground yesterday. She was interviewing those that were out there at the press conference. It was a very exciting show. It was the first time we ever did a show like that live on the ground. You have the barefooted. And we're going to bring Dr. Gene Kennedy on the line. Dr. Gene Kennedy, welcome to your show.
Well, thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. And I am just so pleased to hear your voice on this side of the jail, this side of the jail, and not behind the bars. Of course, it is not over until the court systems hear what needs to go down. But I am very, very pleased tonight, this afternoon, in fact, to be on the special broadcasting. We're taking full advantage of technology, and we were pleased that we were able to find a slot to be able to come in earlier than our normal show, because this is a special show that we want to go out on our Facebook. And for those of you who are faithful Blog Talk Radio followers of the many, 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 many shows that are on the internet, you would be so you'd gracious us this afternoon to tune into our show and to listen to what we have to say. This is a follow-up, a debriefing as to what happened yesterday. I have to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it was my greatest honor to be able to do a live show yesterday as Reverend Harris was in California, Fresno, California. I was 3,000-plus miles away, right here in Georgia, Smyrna, Cobb County at that. And believe me, we have our issues here, but that's for another show. And so, therefore, Reverend Harris and myself and our technology person, our technician person, Brother Patch, all three of us organized and was able to orchestrate this wonderful show yesterday to have live coverage as the people in Fresno rallied together in support of Brother Freddie, whose life was taken far too early, a man who suffered from mental illness. Yet when the police came to give him the necessary assistance and help, they chose to shoot him multiple times. That was the help they gave him. That was the help. You could have called the fire department, and they would have given this man the necessary help. They could have called the ambulance, and they would have given the man the necessary help. But those agencies are not authorized to take someone necessarily to a mental health ward and have them be arrested without their okay. The police department is given that right. They are given the opportunity to take someone into a mental health hospital, and they can get them admitted even if the person does not want to be admitted. And you and I know, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand what mental health is like. We've read about it. We've heard about it. We study it, especially for those of us that are in the restorative justice and social justice movement. We understand that sometimes when a person is not fully balanced, whatever's going on, maybe they're off their medication, maybe they've not been able to have gotten a prescription medication, whatever the reasons are, maybe they go from home to home and is not able to take their medication with them. Whatever the situation may be, and I speak both as a person in the movement as well as an organizational psychologist. And so sometimes a person does not have their medication, they're not medicated, therefore they cannot make rash decisions. And oftentimes it requires for the family to find a way for their own protection, to have them admitted so that they can get the necessary medical treatment. When the family does not have the power and the authorization to take an adult into the mental health institutions, it requires an authority entity to do that. And the police department has been given that authority to be able to take someone into a mental health institution, into a ward outside of their own will. And when you call a police department to help you, you expect the police department to help you. You do not expect them to take out their guns and to shoot somebody to where they lose their lives. Not one shot, ladies and gentlemen, but several shots was put into this man, Freddie, 40 years old, leaving his family. And so we wanted to get a reaction from the people yesterday who came out to the protest and to hear them speak up for justice. And Reverend Harris, you did an excellent job in having people on the ground share their information and what they felt about this whole situation. Only days that followed that shooting was another shooting that also took place in the same community. So you have to ask yourself the question, how are these police officers being trained? Who is giving them their training? Which manual are they looking at to have so many frequent shootings? as they say, they are afraid for their own lives, and this is the reason why they react. We said yesterday on the show, if you have to have a police who is afraid, they should never be on the force. They should never be allowed to have those kinds of dangerous and deadly weapons if they are operating under fear. And again, we were able to hear people speak yesterday. According to their police chief, Mr. Dyer, he said that he notices a lot more aggression is taking place within the communities. And rightly so, the nation right now, the United States of America, this nation, are having the world look at them, and they are asking the question, why is there so much shooting going on in the United States of America? And why does it appear to be happening to people of color? And so, yes, Black lives matter, Brown lives matter, people of color lives matter, and we want to make sure that we get the right justice to us. And so the protest definitely one needed, and it went very well. We were pleased to hear the live footage that took place. Now let me go to the next level of this while we have a special show. And so while this continued, we ran our show all the way to the end. You won't even get a good night, have a wonderful day on the show. It runs all the way until the show ends, so you can have it live. To my surprise, ladies and gentlemen, I get a phone call on my phone from Brother Patch, who was our radio technician, saying, Dr. Kennedy, have you heard from Reverend Harris? It is our understanding that Reverend Harris is being arrested or is being stopped by the police. They have a warrant out for him. Now, listen to me. I am thinking, what am I hearing on the phone? 3,000 miles away, plus, we've just completed a show. Reverend Harris was right there on the ground interviewing people, and a few hours later, I am hearing that Reverend Harris is being detained by the police, the same police department that shot and killed a person and also harmed another person. And so, of course, we're concerned about that. As it turns out, and Reverend Harris will go into more details with you, but again, here is Reverend Harris, who's out there exercising his rights, his constitutional rights, and yet he is being followed home, being followed. Now, if you don't call that profiling, I don't know what you call that. You know, there are many ways to profile a person when they're driving. You can profile them by their ethnicity. You can profile them by their socioeconomic level. You can profile them by their description. You can profile them by their gender, by their sexual orientation. Need I go on? By the neighborhood in which they live. There are so many ways. And definitely Reverend Harris was being profiled yesterday as they followed him and then pulled him over and then went to inform him that they have a warrant out for his arrest. Ladies and gentlemen, this warrant is no few pennies or a few dollars. This is a $20,000 warrant that they have out for Reverend Harris as we are speaking right now. He has a citation that is a $20,000 citation that he has to appear before the magistrate next year, early next year, and he better have that money with him. And do you know why I say he better have that money with him? Because we are still in a country that practices debtor's prison. Did you hear what I said, ladies and gentlemen? We are still in a country that has outlawed debtor's prison, and yet we still have debtor's prison being occupied, being performed, being acknowledged by the police department. They will put you in jail if you cannot pay your ticket. Look at Sandra Bland. What happened to the sister in Texas? Look what happened to me in Georgia. And so many other people that we have testimonies of. You cannot pay a ticket, you will be arrested. Reverend Harris will be brought before the magistrate in the next few months. He has a $20,000 citation, and he better have some money in his pocket. He better have good representation. Otherwise, we'll be doing another show letting you know that Reverend Harris has been arrested, not because he broke any significant laws, but because Reverend Harris could not pay a ticket that he is getting as a warrant that they had out for him. They knew Reverend Harris was going to be at that rally. They knew that. And they came, and they And they cited him. They recognized him. They acknowledged him. They identified him. And then they followed him. And then they came up, and then they pulled him over, and now we have this situation going on. This is common practice, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to say something to you, for those of you who still don't get it, wonder why we're so emotional or why we speak up to these issues. Recently, there was a dentist that was in the news. This dentist had gone to Africa. He had paid for an excursion. He had gone with a group of people, and they shot the lion who was in the movie Lion King. They shot him several times, and that animal ended up dying with several bullets in him due to the way he was shot. And listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, do you know that people in the United States of America was up in arms? Do you know that that dentist, his life was threatened? He had many death threats. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that same dentist almost lost his license? I mean, maybe he lost his license. I don't think he did. He went back to work. But he was threatened to lose his license. He was definitely threatened by getting death threats simply because he shot a lion multiple times and that lion had to end up dying in pain and agony. I am asking you this question, listening audience. Why is it that it is okay for the police departments nationwide to multiple shoot our men of color and you do not get up in arms? You do not send messages loud and clear to the police departments. You do not get up and protest. You read this in your newspapers. You know of people. You see families that are hurting, and yet you would get upset because one dentist, white man, would go to South Africa, go to Africa, and would have a hunting spree and shoot a lion, and he gets death threats. And yet when our men are being shot multiple times, we sit back and we fold our arms. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. And we are going to speak out on this because it is an injustice. And Brother King said, an injustice to one is an injustice to all. Now we have Reverend Harris who's been profiled. Now we have Reverend Harris who's received a citation. Now we have Reverend Harris who has a warrant out on him. And now we have Reverend Harris who now has a $20,000 on his head. And he better come up with that money, because we live in a country where debtor's prison is alive and well. We are pushing the Terry stop. We have an initiative that we're trying to put together for this, and we want you to continue to support us in these areas. You will hear about my story one day, but today it is about Reverend Harris, who is doing the work that he's doing, and yet the police department said, we know Reverend Harris is going to be out here. We know he's an organizer, and we want you police officers to have this piece of paper in your pocket, and you find him wherever he is, and you make sure you serve him those papers. Don't arrest him. Don't put any handcuffs on him, because we certainly don't want the country to be up in uproar. But give him a citation. Give him a warrant. Let him know that there's a warrant out for him, and it is a $20,000 warrant. There is a bounty on Reverend Harris's head for $20,000. So here we go. An injustice to one is an injustice to all. Reverend Harris, go ahead and take over the conversation. What's your feeling? How do you feel this morning, waking up and realizing what has taken place? You have gone out, and you used to say to me, Reverend Harris, if you're not willing to die for a cause, then you're not willing to be part of a cause. You have certainly practiced what you have been preaching, Reverend Harris. Now here you are, sir, being hunted down by the police department, and you better show up to that hearing. If you don't show up, that's another situation. So your life is in danger. I'm not exaggerating. This is a serious situation. How do you feel right now, Reverend Harris? How do you feel?
Well, thank you, Dr. Kennedy, opening the show today. I think for me right now is really doing a lot of reflection on life right now. I think that those who know me, being in the trenches for over 25 years, not just here in Fresno, but across the country, I've always told people that you have to be willing to die and sacrifice for freedom and liberation. As I know, as Reverend Pinckney know, who sits behind bars in Detroit, Michigan, that this is the ultimate price that we pay for leaders. I believe that those who came before me, Dr. King, Megan Everts, many people who suffered and died for the freedom of our people and our children. And so I think that from my perspective right now, I just have to reflect on history right now. I have to reflect on Dr. King, remembering that his house was bombed over 13 times. I have to remember that Dr. King was stabbed when he was doing a book sign. I have to remember that Megan Everts was shot in the back of the head, getting black folks the right to vote in Mississippi with his three little girls behind the door. I think that the real reality set in yesterday that this is really real of what we're dealing with. And I think that for me right now with a $20,000 bounty on my head right now from the Fresno Police Department orchestrated from our chief of police, Chief Dyer, he did promise that if I didn't stop protesting for justice for our people, he promised that if I didn't stop marching, that he was going to do what he did. And so our chief of police kept his promise. But on the other hand, he lied in regards to why I'm out there. He lied about saying that he was going to give officers training for mental illness people in our community when they were sick and the police come up on. He lied about that. And so I kept my promise, and he kept his promise. So I think that I hope that this has sparked a fire in the people in Fresno to see that being a nonviolent person and a person who is always trying to pull people together, that I have a right to protest for what's right, how I want to do that. And so I think that here in Fresno, I think that this is a wake-up call for our children. It's a wake-up call for our leadership. It's a wake-up call for people across the country to see that we are really dealing with a military Nazi Klansman mentality of a government that's here, not just here in Fresno, but across the country. We can't forget that this country was founded on slavery. We can't forget that this country was founded on slaughtering the Native Americans. And I think that once we forget history, I think that we forget our destiny. And so I think yesterday, you know, being at the protest with the family whose loved one was shot 9 times, point blank, who were just holding a water hose nozzle here in Fresno. You know, it's interesting to hear Deputy Chief Navarez on the TV station say that, you know, well, we thought he had a gun. Well, the problem with the Deputy Chief is that we don't pay you to think. We pay you to know. We don't pay our officers to think. We pay you to know. Because there's no way that a civilian can come out here and run a stop sign and kill somebody mistakenly and say, well, I didn't think there was not a stop sign there. No, you're going to get manslaughter. And so what has happened, Dr. Kennedy, here in this town and across the country, we have allowed law enforcement to come in and manipulate. We have allowed law enforcement to come in and mentor our children. That's our job to do that. And so I think yesterday with the police department targeting me for the whole time that we were out there, they knew I was going to be out there. Let's just be honest about the conversation today. You know, I tell people, Dr. Kennedy, you know, I don't go by what you do. I don't go by what you said, but by what you do. Anytime someone is murdered unjustly in this community, I am there. When the police shoot our loved ones, I am there. I don't even know this family, but I am there with Brother Ralphie, Gloria Hernandez, all of us who have been advocating to change policy in this community for the betterment of our babies and our community here. They knew I was going to be there. They know where my church is at. They know, you know, how to get in contact with me. So if it was just a thing of they wanted to give me a warrant, I mean, Chief Dyer, I mean, I thought we had a good relationship to where he just could have called me and said, Harris, you know, we got a warrant for your arrest. Can you come down and pick up the paperwork? You know, but to do it like that was just very slick to target me, to profile me there, to wait till I get in a car. They had maybe about 10 police officers monitoring the whole demonstration. A friend of mine who I was talking to told me that there was two officers who followed her for about 5 miles because they thought I was in her car and I was in another car. And I guess once they figured out that they had pulled me over and detained me, they called those officers off that car. To be treated differently, I thought was interesting also, Dr. Kennedy, from the standpoint of I was told that from the black officer who really felt uncomfortable doing what he had to do, but he was doing his job, that I was told that I didn't have to sit on the curb. Anytime someone is pulled over in West Fresno, they're always made to sit on the curb, handcuffed. But I was told yesterday that I did not have to be handcuffed or set on the curb. And so I think that the perception right now of how people are being treated differently because of my stature, because of who I am and what I represent, I think was unjustly. I'm thinking that when you have an arrest warrant out for my arrest, which was issued from the city attorney office, I think that it is not a warrant that I robbed a bank or I raped someone, I stole a car or something, but it was just something that they felt to try to send a message to me as their tactic. But here's the problem. The problem is I'm not scared. And the problem is that I'm a revolutionary, and I will die for what I believe in. This country has lynched and murdered black people day in and day out, and this black man here, they're not going to lynch. This black man here is going to stand with backbone in his back and speak truth to power today, tomorrow, and when I'm in my casket. And so these officers, Dr. Kennedy, yesterday was like, you know, doing what they were told to do. But we are at our 30-minute mark, Dr. Kennedy. We want to say thank you to all those who tune into our radio show. Please listen to the archive. We'll have another show tomorrow, follow-up. We'll be headed to Stockton tomorrow to do a march and protest down there. So stay tuned for that. Hopefully we'll go live coverage tomorrow. I just want to thank you all for tuning in with Real Talk with the number one doctors, Dr. Harris, warrant issue for my arrest. Thank you on the line. So, Dr. Kennedy, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you, but that's kind of the synopsis of where we're at right now here in Fresno. Facebook is lit up. People are upset about what has happened to me. We have a strong following, not just here in Fresno, but across the country. And so we want to organize with this here and use this to our advantage to educate our community. And Dr. Kennedy, I'll go ahead and turn this show back over to you.
Well, I have a question before you go, Brother Harris, or at least before you become silent. I want the audience to understand your position when you were driving, when you were in that vehicle. Were you the driver or were you a passenger, sir? When they pulled over that vehicle, were you a driver or were you a passenger?
I was a passenger in the car. I was going back to my church to put my items back into my church. So to answer your question, I was the passenger of the vehicle. And you know, Doctor, basically, you know, because I asked the police officer, you know, where's the paddy wagon? You know, why I'm not handcuffed? Why I'm not sitting on the curb? And he basically told me, he said, well, you know, we all want to go home tonight. We don't want to. I said, you mean I don't get to take a mug shot? I don't get to go to the county jail and be with the rest of my family that you arrest in my community? He said, no, we just want to give you this and we're going home. And that was pretty much the basis of it. So now I was a passenger in this situation.
And I thank you very much for making that very clear. I want our listening audience to understand, because we have many, many people who will say things like, well, you know, somebody got shot. They must have done something to have gotten shot. Or we have people that will say somebody gets a ticket or a warrant. Well, you know, they must have been driving carelessly. They must have drawn and brought attention to themselves. I wanted the audience to understand that you were not even driving. So they intended to get you that warrant. They did not want you to come down to the station and pick it up. They did not want to come to your house and serve you that. They wanted to make sure that you were en route and that they wanted you to know that they knew your whereabouts. They knew how to get you, how to stop you, because, again, the police own the streets. The police, that's their territory. They take charge, and that is the reason why life does not matter to the police. Life doesn't matter. That's why they can shoot people left, right, and center. They can imagine that somebody's coming at them with a weapon. They can imagine that their lives are in danger. And I'm using that word intentionally, imagine. I am an organizational psychologist. I understand people's behavior. I understand what goes on in the minds of human beings. I understand how we can have a perception. And when we see a perception or sense of perception, we act on our perception. Police are no different. They are wired like any other human being. But when the police department time and time again say to us in public, in their interviews, we were afraid for our life, and therefore that is the reason we took the action. They are telling you that they are afraid, and they are acting out of fear. Yet we, the people, are not holding the police departments accountable for putting people on the street who are afraid. When you are around a person that is afraid, it is not any different than when you see a dog and you go to pat the dog on the head and the dog is afraid, or the dog has just given birth to its babies. It is afraid for you to go over and touch its pups. That dog will react to you out of fear. We have too many police in the departments nationwide who are coming to work every morning, putting on their uniform, putting on their weapons, and they're going out on the street acting out of fear. Something has to be done. Why is it that we then have to speak up? What is our purpose? What are we trying to do? I want to let you know something, ladies and gentlemen. We are about changing policy. That is the reason why we speak out. That is the reason we protest. That is the reason we bring these things to your attention. It is about changing policy. We want to see policy change. We want to make sure that it is not top-heavy with power. We cannot have an organization who owns the street and have that much power that they put multiple bullets into a person. They have options in how they can take a person down. And if the only option they have is to shoot somebody, we want to change policy. We want to change policy. And so we're about making sure that policies and procedures are changed. We want to look at laws. We want to look at bad laws, bad policies that hurt people. And we want to make sure that those things are changed. So we will not be silenced. We will not be intimidated to be silent. We want change to come because we want to live in safe environments. We are no longer on a plantation. We are no longer runaway slaves. It is not necessary to come after us, insured by anybody's plantation. We are free people, and we want to be treated in the same way that any other race is treated. Oh, yes, it is very difficult for a black police to turn around and take down his own brother in that. I can well imagine, but we are also holding our black police officers accountable. We're yet to see a statement and multiple statements coming out of the different states from our police unions, from our black police officers, letting us know that they know their counterparts are not doing right, letting us know that they have no part in these assassinations that keep taking place day in and day out. We are challenging you, our black police associations. We are challenging you when you put on the same uniform like your counterpart. We expect you to either be in solidarity with them or be in solidarity with the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Insist that there be training. Insist that there be accountability. Insist that changes take place. Again, we're so thankful that all they did was to pull Reverend Harris over. We're so grateful that they didn't think Reverend Harris had a gun on him. We're so grateful that they didn't mistake his phone for a gun or something in the car for a gun. He was a passenger. He was not driving. We're so pleased that they were not trigger happy. He happened to have gotten the police officers who were not trigger happy in this case. What if Reverend Harris had gotten the other police who shot Brother Freddie? What if Reverend Harris had gotten those police who went ahead and shot the other gentleman that was shot 3 days ago, or any of these other police that has been in the news? What if he had gotten the same police-type mentality who shot Oscar Grant and Sandra Bland, who was thrown to the floor, who you could see blatant anger as you listen to that YouTube and see how angry this man is, as he is, literally just chastising her for simply asking him a question. And I've heard people say, well, she shouldn't have asked the question. Ladies and gentlemen, get over it. We have the freedom to talk in this country. We have the freedom to express ourselves. Stop putting us in a psychological prison. Stop taking our rights away from us. If you don't understand what's going on, then keep your mouth shut. We're about saving your babies. We're about saving your life. And if you cannot understand why we have this kind of passion, then move out of the way and let us do what needs to be done, which is making sure that justice is upon the face of this land. We are not going to sit back and continue to see our young men, our fathers, our brothers, our lovers, continue to be shot by trigger-happy police officers simply because they are afraid for their life. I want the next police who shoot someone to say, I am afraid for my life. They need to have a psychological testing right there and then. They need to be put into treatment. I'm an organizational psychologist. You don't go around talking about you are afraid and you're not getting tested. You're not getting evaluated. You're simply put on a leave of absence with pay. Something needs to change, and we are about changing policy. We're about taking hands in solidarity with across the nation, with others who have also seen the injustice, and we're going to make sure that change comes. Some of us will have to be arrested. Some of us will have to lose our lives. Some of us will be silenced. But those who don't have that, you move forward. Martin Luther King had to give up his life just so that we could vote. He gave up his life just so that we could vote. What are you willing to give up so that we can have the same equal footage as anybody living in these United States of America? Again, I am so thankful today that Reverend Harris did not get the wrong police officers, that they did not come upon him. He could have had a bad police officer, one that has not been trained, one that is working under fear, could have come up to Reverend Harris, and we would have a different story today. And so, again, we're so thankful that we are here on our radio show being able to speak up about these issues and being able to make sure that you are educated, because no one is exempt today to be a black man or a man of color, a brown man in this country is a dangerous position to be in. Today, it doesn't matter whether you are a professor that's coming to your house and being taken down by a police thinking you're breaking into your own house. It doesn't matter whether you're driving your car and being pulled over. Today, we have got to begin to look at policies, and we've got to make sure that we are speaking out for justice. We cannot be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. You see what happens when police officers are afraid? They shoot. Are you going to be afraid, ladies and gentlemen? Because when you are fearful, you cause danger. You cause other people's lives to be in danger. And so we're going to stand behind Reverend Harris. We're going to support him. We're going to take this opportunity to make sure that policy gets changed. If we can change but one thing of the policy, then it would have been worth it for Reverend Harris to have been pulled over and to be given a $20,000 warrant that he needs to show up in the courts there in Fresno, California, where he will stand before a judge and where he will plead his case and where justice will either be done or justice will not be done. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Dr. Jean Kennedy. I am with Blog Talk Radio. Real talk with the number one doctors. We study, we are passionate, we are committed to seeing change. We thank you so much for supporting our radio shows. We thank you so much for going to our Facebook. We encourage you to go in, give your comments, write what you need to. Let us hear your voice. You don't be silenced on these sorts of things. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear your voice. Again, we need to hear your voice. And we want to say that we're doing this work out of love. It has to be one love. But above all, it says one love. And we know that we cannot do the kind of work that we do if we don't have the true love for one another, because we know that we can live in a world much better than what it is being presented to us at this moment, at this time. And so, again, we thank you so much for hearing us tonight. And as we're getting ready to close out the show, this very special show that is featuring our dear Reverend Dr. Brother Harris here, Floyd D. Harris, who was pulled over last night after the protest, after we televised and broadcast this live amongst other medias that were there. We were right there on the ground with them, myself being 3,000 miles away, but coming on Blog Talk Radio, and Reverend Harris being there right on the ground, right there in Fresno, California, not realizing that it was only going to be hours later that he himself would be pulled over by the Fresno Police Department, the same police department that shot someone, killed someone, and followed shooting another person a few days later, and would say they did nothing wrong because they thought this person had a gun, which turned out to be a water hose. They shot out of their own fear, took the life of someone. We were there to broadcast that live, to hear our brothers and sisters speak up for righteousness and for justice. And we had no idea that Reverend Harris, only a few hours later, himself would be pulled over, given a warrant by the same police department that did an injustice to another human being. An injustice to one is an injustice to all. We thank you so much for listening to our show. Reverend Harris, if you have a last few minutes before we go off the air, please do so.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy, for the show today. We will be in Stockton, California tomorrow. We'll be on the ground. We'll be down there with our family leading a march. Stockton, California, we will be on the ground tomorrow. Show will probably come on about 2:30 to get the live coverage. Just want to say thank you. Thank you for your support. Love you all. Freedom fighters all across the country. As Bob Marley says, one love, one love, one love. Love you all. Keep the faith. This is Reverend Harris and Dr. Gene Kennedy. Dr. Gene Kennedy from Atlanta, Georgia, and Reverend Harris from the West Coast. We love you all. Bob Marley says, one love. Keep the fight alive. Black power, power to the people, no justice, no peace. Hands up, don't shoot, and you know the rest. And that's how we do it on the West Coast from the South. This is Reverend Harris, and I'm out.